You are listening to Real World News.
Ida, can you please let us know what have you been following here in the negotiations?
I have been focusing on participation discussions and discussions about Principle 10.
Okay, what about the principles? What has been happening here? We have heard that, for example, the common but differentiated responsibility principle has been threatened in the last time. What has been happening here?
The principles have all been reaffirmed, and there's been a specific reference to common but differentiated responsibility. The principle of the Rio Declaration that I'm following the most is Principle 10, so that relates to public engagement in environmental decision making, and in particular rights of information, participation and access to justice. So what we were trying to do is trying to get stronger language in the text on that, and in particular a global Principle 10 convention to be launched, and minimum standards for public participation in international processes.
And what does it mean, for example, for the civil society, the social movement, social organization that want to take part in these kind of discussions? What does it mean for them, the conclusions that until now has been discussed here?
Okay, well, there's quite a lot of language in the text that's very supportive of public participation. It says that you can't have sustainable development without public participation. You need that active engagement, that you need to look at the processes at all levels to try and improve public participation. But there are two very specific sections that I think take things forward on that. There isn't a call for a global Principle 10 convention, which we're very disappointed about, but it's reflective of the very low ambition actually that there is in these negotiations. But what there is there's one section which talks about a new high-level political forum and says that one of those functions of that forum could be developing standards for international public participation in international processes. It's only one of the things that it could do, unfortunately, so it's not definite that it will do it, but it's important that it's flagged that. The strongest language of all, I would say, is in the functions of UNEP, the UN Environment Programme. There's language strengthening that, and that says that one of its functions will be to ensure the active participation of the public, and that includes looking at new mechanisms. So we would say one of those mechanisms should be a Global Principle 10 Convention, and that's what we'll be lobbying for.
Ida, in the last conferences of the United Nations on climate change, several organizations have said that there are several spaces close to the peoples. After that meeting, can we say that something is going to change in the future?
Well, this is very interesting, because even in Rio at the moment, there were closed meetings. It was very hard to get hold of text. The process for public participation really hasn't been very good. But because of these specific references in the text, we can now go back to organizations and say, look, you have to be doing better than you are, because you're an international organization. This document says you should be improving public participation. But over and above that, there's now a mandate for the UN Environment Programme to look at this, and potentially the high-level political forum. So then they will come up with standards, so that instead of having to have this debate every single time, there will be hopefully one set of clear guidelines that organizations will understand that that's what they should be trying to comply with. So it's a small step forward. It's not where we want to be, but it is a small step forward in the right direction.
Would you say, Gita, that this is a step forward from Rio 1992 to now? I mean, now we're better than that at this moment?
Yes, I think it's better because it reaffirms the Rio principles and has some action for how those could be taken forward at the international level. All we have at the moment is a European regional convention that implements Principle 10, which is great for Europe, but not so helpful for anywhere else. And we also have some guidelines at UNEP level, which are guidelines, and there's no legal requirement to take them forward. So hopefully this language will just clearly set out some guidelines at the international level and also launch processes for a legal framework at the global level.
Okay, Gita, would you like to add something else, maybe something I didn't ask you about and you think it's important to stress?
I think it's important to stress that there's actually still a long way to go, but it is important to recognise that a few days ago, actually, there were some countries that didn't even want the references that we already had to participation in the text. They wanted to weaken that. So to actually have to got somewhere from that background to actually have moved things forward is actually positive and shows that you can, working in a very slow, glacial way, make progress in international negotiations on some issues.
Sorry, I want something else to ask you, Gita. What happened in the middle to reach this step? Because we had heard that several countries, mainly from the north, they wanted to take these principles out of the text, that they were not really backing them. What happened in the middle?
I don't really know what happened with the wider principles, actually. And on Principle 10, it was the G77 that was particularly opposing having these principles extended. It wasn't across the countries, but there were particularly countries within the G77. Other countries were more supportive. So we were able to say, look, civil society does so much. We're really important to achieve sustainable development. You need the participation of civil society. And we help at the international level also. And we help developing countries. You know, we try and support those viewpoints. So please don't resist this text. And so I think the countries that were resisting it within the G77, the countries that were supportive were able to persuade them as a result of that and in result of the lobbying to actually allow this language to get through. And so it did get through. I don't really know what happened with the wider principal processes because I wasn't really following those in as much focus, but Mina, I'm sure, would know about that.
You are listening to Real World News.